Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm thankful for the word. I'm thankful for all of it. You got to be careful. You got to be real careful because we live in the age of I can pick what I want to listen to. How many have noticed that? Like, I only listen to messages on salvation only. You're missing a lot. That's the entrance, and there's more that the Lord has. You want to go to Matthew 14 with me this morning? I take that back. Let's go to Philippians 2. But you got to be careful. I love that passage. You know, people say, well, Malachi is in the Old Testament. And I understand what you're saying, and I've debated all that stuff, and I don't debate it anymore. So if you hold to that and that it doesn't have relevance, then fine. But one thing that you do have to see in Malachi is that he's dealing with the heart. Come on. Amen or oh me. He's dealing with the heart, right? People say, well, no, I'm not going to give to this church. Don't then, but give somewhere. You got to understand this about us. You're not going to scare us with, well, I don't like that. Okay, well, I don't know what scripture you want. Amen. That deals with the heart. We have to deal with the heart. Amen. We have to deal with the center of man, the core of man, because that's where all those decisions are made, you know. And here's the thing. You can snow me. You can snow Pastor Mike. You can snow your neighbor. You can't snow God. He looks through you. You say, what do you mean by that? He sees down to the very motivation of your heart. So that's why what Mike was saying was so valid, because it's not important. You know, we put numbers on things. We have ideas about things. We have our understanding in our head about things. But we got to go back to the word. And we got to look at it, and then we have to look at that word, and we have to go, okay, Lord, now deal with me. And when you let the Lord deal with you, this is where, and people don't realize this, because they'll hear about blessing, they'll hear about the goodness of God, and they'll think, yeah, I want that. But they don't realize that the path to those things comes through the transformation of you. The question is not whether or not God loves you, or whether or not he wants to be good to you. The question is always, see, people think, well, we're under the dispensation of grace. Yeah, we are under the dispensation of grace. You're right. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. But grace is undeserved, unmerited favor, but it's also unlimited empowerment that comes to us through the word of God when we activate on our part. You know, people will say, well, God loves me unconditionally. You're right. He does love you unconditionally, but how do you love him? Well, I don't want to talk about that. Well, Jesus talks about it a lot. Paul talked about it a bunch. Peter talked about it. James, you know, that's why I said, how many love the word? Because the word has this ability. Have you ever, you've been in a place and you're crying out to the Lord about something because it's a desperate situation, and you go to the word and he corrects you on something? You're like, God, but, you know, did you see how they treated me? And he says, you need to forgive them. Or did you see that this person, I've been in business, and that was my contract, and this person came along, and they knew what I charged, and they undercut me on purpose, and now they have the contract? And he says, bless them. Oh, no, the Lord would never do that. You're right. He's asking you to pray for lightning bolts to come out of heaven. No, the standard is what? We forgive others as Christ. How much did Christ forgive? Come on. You say, well, I really haven't been that bad. You don't understand what you were before him. When you understand salvation, you realize it was intense. If it took the Son of God to get me out of hell, hell was serious. And the sin was serious. Amen? And so that's where we get into that place where we settle down. And, you know, in America, we got lots of options. I don't like McDonald's. I'm going to go to Burger King. I don't like that. I'm going to think outside the bun. I'm going to Taco Bell. Right? You got to watch that because that'll get into the church. Well, I like pews. I don't know why people like pews. I'd prefer a pad on my pad. You know what I mean? After a while, especially if the preacher preaches long. We got to watch that because it's not, the church is not a building. It's not seats. It's you. You're brothers and sisters in the Lord right now if you're born again. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter if you're a cowboy or a rocker or a gangster or an emo or do they even have emos anymore? It doesn't matter. You know, Mike was talking about holes in your jeans. If you give those today, that's a blessing. If you got holes in your jeans, people like that. Take it out back. If you don't have enough holes in them, shoot them with a shotgun. You get, and then give them. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background. God does not look at those things. He looks at the heart. Well, that person's got tattoos. I can't go to a church where there's tattoos. You can't walk outside. Give me a break. Look, you're going to get to heaven, and God's going to go, that's a tattoo. What were you thinking? He doesn't care. Come on. He's after your heart. And I've seen ministers, and I saw one minister, this was years ago. This was before tattoos were real popular. He was tattooed from head to toe, literally. He had a shaved head. It was all tattoos. And he was preaching. He was on Christian television. Can you imagine? And he was preaching away. And I'm going, he is anointed of God. And people were getting saved. Why? Because this is all going to die. People say, oh, don't talk about that. Sorry. You've heard me say it, but it's true. The leading cause of death is birth. If you didn't want to die, you shouldn't have been born. People are like, I had no control over it. That could be why. Amen? But say it with me. God's good. So his word is good to us, and we need to be aware of that. So let's talk about this. The title of the series we're in is called Success, and this is part two. Last week we talked about praise and worship and the importance of going to the Lord and worshiping him. Today, part two, I call this To the Mountain. To the Mountain. And I want to go to Philippians 2:7. I want to show you something. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, but you can put it on the screen if you want, the New King James. But anyway, Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. But he did not come in all his divinity. Do you guys understand that, right? He didn't come in full power. If God came in full power, he doesn't need to be born into the earth. You understand that? Because he created everything. So he didn't need, if he wanted to, Jesus could have just, instead of being born from a virgin, he could have just like jumped out of the sky, landed, you know, like Thor. Lightning, and I imagine that's what it would be like. You know, if I was going to pick, like if I was the Son of God, you know, God, you know, there's a meeting in heaven, I'd be like, oh, I want to go like Thor. I want all the muscles, I want it all, and we're going to show these humans. But God, he shows you something about his nature in approaching and becoming one of us. Amen? Shows you something about his love, his compassion, his tenderness towards his creation. So he didn't come and look at the people and go, now all you people bow before me. That's not what he did. He came and he said, I did not come to be served, but to, whoa, that's a little different. That's a little bit different than what we're used to in our world. But God did that intentionally to prove his love for humanity. This way, Nobody in all time could ever say God didn't love. He has the best evidence for the day of judgment that anybody would need, the death of his son. You know, nobody's going to outweigh that evidence. They're not going to get up there and go, well, you didn't love me. You didn't care for me. And he'll just go, the blood of Jesus. When you love somebody, you will give up for them at no reward to you. Ooh, that's tough, isn't it? Somebody say, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So the Lord emptied himself. Philippians 2:7 says this, but stripped himself, talking about Jesus, of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself. So not only did he get inside the flesh cage, but then after he got inside the flesh cage, because he could have come down, he could have said, I'm in a human body, that's good enough. I'm here, I see you, you can touch me, that's good enough. But he didn't just do that. What did he do after that? He said after he had appeared in human form, it says this, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death. Even the death of the cross. Wow. How many have studied what Jesus went through in his death on the cross? It was like the worst way to die. It was reserved for the most hardened, the most evil criminals. It was reserved for the purpose of display to people, to warn people who were thinking about breaking Roman law. You know, oh, you don't like the way we govern. Let's crucify a few people. And people say, well, that wasn't like that. It was like that then, and it's like that. Humanity has not changed. Come on. The devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever, buddy. You say, that's a scripture about God. I know, but it works for the devil, too. He has not changed in the way he operates. He has not changed in the way he functions. He has not changed in what he does and the motivations and thoughts that he tries to put inside of humanity. Nothing has changed. He's the same. And so what the enemy did, and God obviously yielded himself, Jesus did, to the plan of God for our redemption, because that price was necessary for us to get righteousness, to be able to access when we pass from this life into the gates of heaven. But not only that, it was also necessary, and this is many times where some of the church misses the other half of this, but it was not only that God would be able to have us access those pearly gates, but also that God might access you right here, right now. You are the house of God. That was part of the revelation that Paul gave. That was part of the revelation that he delivered. He said, come on, guys, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There are some other passages that talk about this, but I want to move on. So he was anointed. How many remember he was baptized by John the Baptist, right? How many of you walked up there? Can you imagine that? Jesus walking up to you. Now, Sean, I need you to baptize me. Lord, you should probably baptize me. But he said, no, let's do this to fulfill what? All righteousness. All righteousness. All righteousness has been fulfilled thanks to Jesus. Amen. And we saw that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a what? Like a dove. Now, we got to clear this. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. Like a dove. Okay? The Holy Spirit's not like, I saw a dove today. It was the Holy Spirit. No, he just descended in the shape and form of a dove. Well, how can he do that? He was part of the creation of doves. Right? Okay, good. So we're clear. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Okay? So I'd imagine he's kind of like Thor, maybe. Sometimes it feels like electricity when he comes in the room, you know. You feel that. So, success to the mountain, Matthew 14. This is a principle. I want to share this with you just for the next few minutes. This is a principle that God gave us for success. And he showed it through Jesus. Matthew 14, verse number 22. Jesus spent time with God. If you're going to write it down. Jesus spent time with God. Matthew 14, verse 22, it says this. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. So what is Jesus doing here? He is getting everybody away from him. Do you see that? Now his disciples, these are the guys that left everything to follow him. You know, sometimes you need to do this in your own life. You just need to get everybody away from you. Amen. Not always. I mean, Jesus didn't just do this all the time, but he had intentional time with God only. Only. Why is that? Let's look at this a little bit further. So it says this, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to what? Pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. He was alone there. Why? He is praying. He is fellowshipping with God. Now, when I was reading over this, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Sean, what's the most important voice in your life? His. You mean it's not my spouse? Nope. Yeah, but God can speak through your spouse. Yes, he can. Speak through her. He does. But who's the most important? God. His voice. Jesus showed us that. He said, you disciples, get out of here. You go get in the boat, go row somewhere. Where are we supposed to go? To the other side. He said to the other side. We left everything for this. How many have ever felt like that before? It's like, Lord, we're rowing. There's a storm, Lord. Don't worry, he's walking on the water. You'll be fine. You'll be good. And then he sent who away? He sent the multitudes away. So he could what? Hear from. If you're going to have success, you got to hear from. You got to hear from him. Well, I got to get the prayer chain to pray. Sometimes the prayer chain has missing links. Don't make fun of the prayer chain, preacher. Sometimes the prayer chain has missing links. Yeah, but I'm a part of a group on Facebook. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. Get in there. You need to hear from. Well, I'm waiting for my favorite prophetic voice to speak. There's no greater prophetic voice than the Holy Spirit within you. Well, you don't believe in prophets. Absolutely do. You don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But I will not follow just a prophet. I will. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the... Ooh. You can hear for yourself. I said, you can hear for yourself. I said, you can hear for yourself. I'm his sheep. Bah. I know his, and a stranger's I will not follow a stranger's voice. I know his. I hear his. People say, well, I don't know how to hear it. Start reading that book first. Spend time with the author of the book. Let the author, let the words and the spirit behind those words transform the way you think. Begin to open your heart to them. Seed will settle down in your heart. Faith is resonant inside that seed, and it will begin to operate as you fellowship with your Father. And as you do that, you will hear his voice. And I don't know about you, and I know there are many in here that have done this because I've talked to you, but even me personally, every place of success that has taken place according to, and I'll say this, according to some of just natural man's idea of success that has taken place in my life and in many of your lives is because you heard from the Father. Come on, you can hear from the Father concerning your kids. You can hear from the Father concerning your career. You can hear from the Father concerning your nation. You can hear from the Father concerning what? Everything that you need. He knows the best guitar for you. I only got one amen out of the musicians. There should have been about 10 right there. He knows the best drums for you to buy. Come on. Talk to him. Get away. Shut out the other voices. Come on. You ever go to prayer and your phone? Bzz, bzz. I'm going to silence it. And it sits there. Bzz. And you're going, oh Lord, I focus on you. There is none like you, Lord. And I... Lord, I have 27 likes on that, and you know, or you know, take a quiet time with the Lord. I'm going to see a lot of that this week. I have a feeling. Come on. No, you gotta see, there is even, it's even more this way today. There's really no place to hide. Because of cell phones, because of all these things. And people say, we gotta get rid of cell phones. No, we don't. We have the self-control of God Almighty living on the inside of us. Amen. Just turn it off and put it away. But what if something happens? What did they do years ago when something happened? You know what I mean? It's like, your friend called? If you weren't home? Sorry. Now we're like, they didn't call me back. I know they got the text because it says on the thing that they read it. That's a curse. You know what I mean? It's like, they're choosing not to answer me. Why do they have to? Do you ever consider somebody else has something going on? Come on. I mean, you say, you deal with, I have to deal with that. I called my wife and went right to voicemail. She, what'd she do? I'm the most important. Come on. It boils down to what? Yeah. We got to watch that. I know she read the text. It's all insecurity. That's what it is. We should just be like, you know, even if you know they got the text and you know they read it and they're still not answering you, you should just bless them in the name of Jesus and go on with your blessed life. You know, busy yourself with something. Play Legos. Do something. You know, build something. Be productive. Come on. You ever do that with your kids? They'll get obsessed with one little thing that their sibling didn't do. Or that they're, you know what I mean? Busy yourself. Get after something. Look to be a blessing somewhere. And you'll stop forgetting. And those feelings of lack of joy, lack of peace, all those things will go away. Because you'll be busy doing something. You'll be busy being productive for God and for his kingdom. Amen? So he says this. He went up to the mountain to pray. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitudes away. This is a repeat of that passage. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. You can jot these down because I'm going to run here. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer with God. Wow. Glory to God. I had a teacher in Bible college one time, and he was talking about how there were times where he'd spend all night reading the word, and then he would get up, he wouldn't even get up. He'd just go to work the next morning. Of course, he's teaching and preaching and stuff like that. Sometimes you have jobs where you can't do that. And he made this statement, it won't hurt you to miss one night of sleep. Now, you can't live that way. How many have noticed? Okay, you need sleep. But most people don't stay up all night reading the word. They stay up all night watching the next YouTube. Yours ends, and what happens? Another one starts. You don't even have to tell it to start. And it's not even related to the first one, and you're halfway through the video going, why am I watching this? This is stupid. That guy should have never lit that firework in the first place. What were they thinking? Right? But imagine staying up all night reading the word or praying. Well, brother, my faith's just not there. Well, you can grow. I still didn't get much out of that one. No, it's not going to be. Well, hey, imagine an hour with the Lord undisturbed. You know, that song will kick in. I can only imagine. You can make your imagination reality. If you put it into priority, amen? You say, well, it's not about times. I agree with you. It's not. But have you ever calculated through a week your times? Have you ever jotted it down? Well, I have kids. I got three. I know people that have six. Right there. And five. But you can still find time to be on that mountain with the Lord. Amen. You might have to lose 45 minutes of sleep, get up a little bit earlier. But you can do it. The Lord said you could. He said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Luke chapter 22 verse 39 says this. Says Jesus coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. So what does that mean? It was regular with Jesus to get alone with God. If you're going to have success in your marriage, if you're going to have success in your family, you know, we talk about these things. We have whole conferences on them now in the body of Christ. We have conferences on this and conferences on that. And we have knowledge. And knowledge has increased, but relationship with God somehow has decreased. I don't quite understand it. I mean, I do, but I don't. See, God and the Lord, I posted this on Facebook the other day, and because the Holy Spirit just prompted inside of me. He said, Sean, in the midst of all this knowledge that we have, do you want a book on marriage? Just Google Christian book on marriage. You will find so many books. Google book on faith. The knowledge available is huge, yet somehow the relationship and the intimacy with the Lord has kind of diminished in ways. How is that possible? Because God, and this is what the Lord said to me, he said, Sean, I'm not somebody you memorize. So what is Jesus showing us? That if we're going to know him, we have to spend. I don't know about you, but when I meet people, I can tell if they know him or not. Pretty quick. It doesn't take long. Why? People have a certain way. You can tell they've been hanging out with the one who made all things. That spirit is just full. You can see it in their eyes. The eyes go into the soul, right? You can see it. You can tell at some level this person's been walking with the Lord. It has an effect on you. And then it has an effect through you. Amen. So it was his custom to go. Let's go to the Old Testament and we'll wrap up right here. I may go back to a different thing next week. Same vein here. We'll see what happens. But here's the thing. You got to wait on the Lord. Lastly, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll end right here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28 says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither, what? Faints nor is weary. His understanding is what? Do you know what that means? That's not saying, God's not in heaven going, I am so much smarter than you little people. I mean, my understanding, what he's saying there is, you got a problem, I got an answer. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you got an issue? You know, God didn't write the book, the Bible, have it written through the different authors through the ages. He didn't write it so you'd just be impressed with how awesome he is. Does that make sense? God, I don't think we're going to get to heaven and God's going to have, like, you know, his first place medals. You are his prize. You are, come on, that's what he's after. You are the treasure. You are his everything. He doesn't need trophy. He's not insecure. He's not in heaven. Angels, tell me again how good I am. He is who he is. And it all bursts out of his character, which is love, which is not something he practices. It is his nature. And out of all of that love comes everything to you. Why did God have somebody invent a water slide? Yeah, that's it right there. There's no deep revelation. It's fun. It's a water slide, Sean. God doesn't like water slides. God's anti. No. Why did God have somebody invent fast jets? Because he knew Kenneth Whiff and want to fly it. That's why. If it's faster and louder, better. You know, why? I mean, why invent sports cars? What's the? Yeah, it's God's good. It's fun, right? Well, there's a lot of bad things that happen. Yeah, but if you put a godly person in the plane, if you put a godly person on the motorcycle, if you put a godly person in the car, there's a lot of good that can happen. Amen? So he says this. He gives power to the, verse 29, he gives power to the, and to those who have no might, he, even the youths faint and are weary. How many have noticed that? How many have youths? And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who... What? What is that word? They that what? I don't like that word. Hurry up, Lord. I gotta go. Make it faster. Lord, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Then you don't have time for strength. You don't have time to mount up with wings like eagles. You don't have time to run and not be weary. You don't have time to walk and not faint if you don't have time to wait. Your strength, your ability to walk and run and mount up and have success has to be found. It must be acquired. It must be brought into your life through going to the mountain and waiting. Well, wait. How many have ever tried to just sit down and do nothing and think about nothing? It's
12 o'clock, preacher, you better be done at 12 o'clock. The thing on the website said.
How many have ever just tried to sit down and just don't think? Be peaceful and listen to the Holy Spirit inside. Do you know that most of David's revelation, I believe this, was on his bed at night? If you read the Psalms, he was laying there. What was he doing? Well, he wasn't posting on Instagram. You know, in his day, when the sun went down, you go to bed. It wasn't next, you know, who liked it, who hearted it, who angry faced it. Ooh, the president is live. Let's count the hearts and the angry faces. Who's winning, who's winning, who's winning? When you should be asleep. Well, somebody's watching that show going, what's he going to say? You're not supposed to worry about that. You're supposed to pray for him.
Like him.
Oh, you big baby. Quit it. Pray. 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 Believe God. Amen.
Well, I like him and he's everything.
Pray. Pray. Pray for him. Pray for your senators. Pray for the governors. Pray for the mayors. Pray for the representatives. Amen. Pray for him. The judges. Pray for them. Why? Because the same Jesus that died for you. The kingdom we represent is not in votes. Come on. It's in the Spirit. Even if they make it illegal for me to be a Christian, can they stop it? What are you going to do? Make a law that affects my spirit? You can make a law that can touch this, but I'm not this. This is the house I live in. I'm eternal on the inside. I've actually already passed from death unto life. Why? Because Jesus did it for me and I stepped inside his dew. And his dew became my reality. And by grace through faith, I'm what? In. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of, I'm in the light. So unless you're going to do these things, you won't see success. At least not like God wants it. Now you got to be careful, because the world has an idea of success. And a lot of worldly principles continually leak into the church. Have you ever noticed? It creepeth. I had a teacher at Bible college and he said this, the number one thing you're going to struggle with as the church or as a leader and a pastor, things like that, is the world creeping into the church. And he's right. It does. It happens. So we got to guard ourselves. We got to be ready. A principle of success. Well, I want to be, you know, I have all these rules and I set these goals and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can set a whole bunch of goals that God never told you to. You can accomplish them, and I've watched it happen, get to the end of your life and go, feel dissatisfied. I will not do that. You have to choose not to do that. Follow him. How am I going to do that, Sean? Go to the mountain and wait. Wow. That's deep, isn't it? I didn't even give you the Greek or the Hebrew on any of that. And yet, how many understand what the Holy Spirit's saying? Go and wait. Go and wait. Wait on the Lord. He'll tell you what to do. You'll know what to do. And then be pit bull with your faith. You say, what does that mean? Pit bulls, when they bite down, their jaws lock. Once you know what God told you to do, don't let go. Because you're in for the ride of your life. Amen? Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Now, if you're in here and you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you pass from this life, I invite you to come talk to me afterwards. We'll pray with you. You can be born again, and you'll know that you know that you know that you know. Now, don't walk out those doors and don't do it. Amen. You say, well, you know, I one time was having lunch with the Havener clan. And I was sitting there, and actually John, your son, was there. And we were eating at the Golden Corral. It's a very fancy restaurant. But anyway, John's oldest son, he's your oldest, right? Yes. Yeah, he still is. Praise God, amen. Yeah, come on. Anyway, he had gotten into some trouble in his life, and he knew that I was a preacher, you know. So we were sitting next to each other. I didn't even really say anything. He brought it up. So we just started talking about the Lord, and we got on to salvation. And I said to him, I said, well, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And he said, well, I said, well, let's go pray. So we left the table because I wanted to go outside, and he smoked a cigarette. And he prayed the prayer of salvation. You know, God can hear you through a cigarette. He is not afraid of cigarettes. Come on. And he prayed the prayer of salvation. And was it 6 months later? He went home to be with the Lord. He was young. But where is he? He's in our future. Glory to God. So don't leave here without knowing. Amen. Don't leave here without knowing. If you need prayer for baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't leave here. We'll pray with you. If you need healing in your body, don't leave. We'll pray for you. Amen. God's good all the time. We got more than one person that can pray with you. Father, we thank you for today. You're so good to us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Your word is always true. Lord, we honor you and bless you, and we honor your word. We give you all the praise and glory for everything that was done today. You're so good to us. We take these words. We open our heart. We let them seed deep in our heart. We thank you, Father, that by your word as we proceed this week and by your Holy Spirit, that they'll be watered, that they'll be increased. And Lord, we will be purposed in our doing of the word and not hearing only. And we know that as we do, we are blessed in what we do. We are open to hear your plan. Speak to us, Father, as we come to the mountain and wait on you. We thank you that as we do, we will be strengthened. We will be renewed. We will be reinvigorated. And we will be refreshed by your Holy Spirit, able to move forward and do what you've want us to do in our marriages, in our families, in every way. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Don't forget to sign up for Trunk or Treat. And if you need a shirt, make sure you get a shirt. And Wednesday night Bible study.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.